Welcome to Market Matters, our markets podcast on Making Sense, the hub for JP Morgan corporate and investment bank podcasts. In each episode of Market Matters, we discuss the latest news and trends shaping markets today.
Hi, I'm Eloise Goulder, head of the Data Assets and Alpha Group here at JP Morgan. And today I'm really pleased to be joined by Daniel Landau from our positioning intelligence team to dive into European equities following a strong rally. So, Daniel, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Hi, Eloise. Thank you very much for having me.
So, European equities, as measured by the Stoxx 600, have gained about 18% from the lows last October and are up about 5% year to date. And in fact, European large caps, as measured by the Eurostoxx 50 index, have rallied even harder. They're up almost 25% since October lows. And over the last month or two, European equities have also been outperforming US peers. So the key question is, what has been driving this rally and this outperformance in Europe? And also, how much buying have we seen from hedge funds and other investors? And is there room for further upside at this stage? Daniel, can you start by explaining why you think European equities have been so strong recently?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Eloise. So I think in many respects, the rally does make sense in the context of some, let's say, incrementally positive drivers in Europe recently. So first off, we've seen various macro indicators bottoming out. So European PMIs coming off recent lows, also economic surprise data inflecting higher over the past few months from what were very negative levels on both an absolute basis and also relative to the US, which could explain some of the relative outperformance that we've seen. And the economic surprise index in Europe even flipped to positive the beginning of February, around the first time in over a year. Now, secondly, from a policy perspective, there's also now a higher probability being assigned to both earlier and more aggressive rate cuts from the ECB versus the Fed. And then thirdly, with China's stock market having rebounded from the February lows, European stocks are disproportionately exposed to China and should justifiably see some support in tandem. I'd also note that Miss Lav, our head of global equity strategy, recently just closed out his underweight in Europe relative to the US, citing some of those incrementally more supportive factors for Europe.
Thanks so much, Daniel. So things definitely seem incrementally, to use your word, more positive in Europe. But you do sound a little bit hesitant. I mean, what are the risks to the bullish case for Europe?
Yes, well, I think there are still a number of macro risks that investors are weighing up. So yes, we are seeing a shift to the pricing of earlier rate cuts versus the US, but arguably this is being driven by a more concerning macro picture on a relative basis. To put that in perspective, current and forecasted real GDP figures are lower in Europe. The UK recently entered a technical recession, and to the extent that Europe is partly rallying in association with China, there's still many uncertainties over the health of the Chinese economy and its property sector and consumer demand. There's also concerns around inflation resurfacing off the back of shipping disruptions from the Middle East conflict. And the micro data hasn't been great either on a relative basis to the US. So Q4 earnings have been weaker in Europe, and 12-month ahead earnings revisions are being revised down in Europe also. So the picture is somewhat mixed. However, as always, I think it is important to remain data dependent. And in addition to several central bank meetings this week, so we've got the Bank of Japan meeting Tuesday the 19th, the Fed on Wednesday and the BOV on Thursday. We also have PMIs in Europe and the US on Thursday, which could be telling.
Thank you, Daniel. So quite a nuanced view on European markets then. While some things have incrementally improved, there are still several challenges out there. But Daniel, can we turn to the positioning now? I mean, how supportive would you say the positioning backdrop is for Europe at this stage?
Sure. So I guess to give a little bit of context, so at the start of the global equity market rally from October last year, we didn't see much hedge fund participation in Europe. So hedge fund clients were actually net sellers of European equities since late last year. And that actually continued through Jan of this year. And that compares to pretty strong buying of US equities. So on a relative basis, hedge fund flows to Europe have been weaker versus the US since around May of last year, in line with underperformance. However, hedge funds flipped to buying Europe since around Feb, exactly when European macro data began to surprise to the upside. Now, we saw buying on an absolute level from hedge funds, over one standard deviation buying in Europe, and also on a relative basis to US equities. We also saw CTA funds increasing net exposure in Europe in recent months. So from a positioning perspective, hedge funds have increased significantly their positioning in Europe since Feb, from the 40th percentile to 70th percentile. However, higher overall positioning now elevates the risk of perhaps the need to sell off the back of any negative macro surprises. Note that we actually started to see some selling of Europe and the US around one standard deviation selling last week. So maybe just some jitters ahead of this week's macro catalyst, or perhaps there is a need for some consolidation and position squaring, given the magnitude of positioning shifts that we've seen in recent weeks.
That's fascinating. Thank you, Daniel. So hedge funds, at least, have really significantly increased their positioning in Europe from below historical average levels to well above historical average levels over the last couple of months. So that's really helpful to know and certainly highlights some of the risks in the near term. But what about positioning from other investor sources like long onlys?
Yes, so I'd say that the picture is perhaps a little more nuanced when considering other investment types. So as you mentioned, while hedge fund positioning has been on the up, we also track long-only asset manager positioning in index futures, and asset managers haven't really been buying Europe over the past couple of months. They've even been selling UK equities, and looking at asset manager positioning in Europe as a whole, it's still actually below highs over the past few years. This reflects less overall bullishness from this group versus hedge fund positioning that we outlined earlier, and perhaps does leave some extra headroom for a broadening of this rally.
So it seems like it very much depends on the fundamental outlook from here, whether or not fundamentals in Europe really can sustainably improve and draw in those other investor sources or not. And it is worth noting that on that latter point, Helen Jewell, the CIO of Fundamental Equities for EMEA at BlackRock, really spoke to this theme and this upside potential in the longer run on this podcast series last week. So, Daniel, there's clearly a lot of nuance around Europe, both from a fundamental perspective and from a positioning perspective. But I know that you do have some very high conviction ideas at this stage. So can you go through what they are?
Absolutely. So I think one topic that's been receiving a lot of traction recently, particularly in the US, is momentum factor performance looking stretched. So that's the extreme differential in returns between the outperformers or winners and underperformers or laggards. But this is a theme that also extends to Europe, where momentum performance also does seem a little stretched. The concern is that performance of European momentum has been very correlated to both one, hedge fund alpha and performance trends, but also hedge fund gross flows over the past couple of years. So to put that another way, hedge funds have been pressing momentum recently, which has been working well from a performance perspective. But at the same time, it means that a rollover in momentum's performance, for example, the outperformers starting to sell off, could lead to weaker hedge fund alpha and start to accelerate some degrossing trends in the market. Now, I think that the risk is heightened by the fact that we see European momentum performance also correlated to European growth versus value returns. So hedge funds have been chasing not only long momentum stocks, but also growth stocks and expensive stocks, so the short side of the value factor, and selling cheap value stocks in recent months. To the extent that the positioning differential in growth versus value is now also looking very stretched to the upside. So I guess to summarize and put this all together, this does present a risk to the overall market where elevated hedge fund positioning and chasing of these themes that I've mentioned does raise the potential for hedge fund degrossing and a sharper sell-off if performance starts to turn, particularly for these long momentum, expensive and growth stocks. So to get back to your question on high conviction ideas, I think momentum could well be vulnerable and I would advocate hedging some momentum risk at this stage.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And as you mentioned, the momentum factor has been strong globally, really, very clearly outperforming in the US this year, but also outperforming in Europe. So I hear you on vulnerability to that factor and wanting to hedge some of those risks. And actually thinking about the outperformance of the larger caps like the Euro Stoxx 50 in Europe and the structural winners like our Magnificent 10 or Magnificent 11 stocks, those are also presumably in the long leg of momentum in the sense that they've outperformed very sharply over recent months.
Absolutely.
So Daniel, if you're advocating hedging some momentum risks, then presumably you'll be more bullish of the laggards or the underperformers and segments that have lower positioning at this stage.
Yes, and I definitely think there's a few pockets in Europe that have lagged from both a performance perspective, but also pockets that we see relatively light hedge fund positioning as well. So energy is a sector that stands out. So stocks within the SXEP. So we've seen double-digit gains for Brent since the recent December lows, and also a more bullish macro investor base increasing their net positioning in underlying crude. But positioning in SXEP, as we see it from hedge funds, still sits very light at the fifth percentile. Now, that's among the lightest across all sectors in Europe, despite pretty strong buying over the past month or so. So I think there is some scope for upside there. However, performance of the sector and hedge fund appetite will likely depend on whether crude can hold this range or continue to break higher, which would potentially require global and China growth to hold up and perhaps some geopolitical risk premia to continue like we've seen in recent weeks. Another area where we see pretty light hedge fund positioning is in the traditional defensive sector space. So notably utilities and consumer staples. There's definitely scope for hedge funds to add back to exposure here, but performance is likely to only really gain some traction in a more defensive tape where yields are falling due to growth concerns.
So energy, utilities and consumer staples all standing out there in terms of being laggards that could outperform if momentum were to unwind. And how about the other end of the spectrum, the pockets which are now looking pretty stretched and vulnerable?
Yes, so I mentioned light positioning in defensive pockets. So I think in contrast to that, there's certain pockets of cyclical sectors where we've seen pretty strong performance and elevated hedge fund positioning. So the other end of the spectrum. So this ties in with comments from Mislav, our head of global equity strategy, that valuations are looking stretched in certain cyclical pockets. And he advises caution given potentially weaker consumer trends. Now, in line with this, we've seen hedge fund positioning get quite elevated, so over the 90th percentile, in European travel and leisure, and also airlines and transport stocks. We've now even started to see hedge funds selling these themes over the past month in line with underperformance, but there's definitely room for positioning to come down further if the macro data continues to turn. Another area is aerospace and defense stocks and broader cap goods, which have seen pretty extreme buying in recent months in line with these stocks hitting all-time highs. While aerospace and defense has some pretty strong positive fundamental tailwinds in terms of geopolitical risk, even looking at cap goods stocks, excluding aerospace and defense, we've seen a pretty extreme positioning shift higher from the 40th percentile to the 90th percentile in just a couple of months. Now, from these elevated positioning levels, in the past, we've tended to see quite negative relative performance trends for these stocks. And we've even started to see hedge funds selling over the past couple of weeks. One last area that I'd mention where we see quite elevated positioning is European semis, positioning also above the 90th percentile, although flows are starting to fade as we've seen in the US, and semis positioning globally in aggregate, so across Europe and US and Asia, is now at highs since 2015. When we see semis positioning as elevated as this on a global level, it hasn't traditionally been a great setup for medium-term performance for the sector compared to the wider market.
Well, several areas there to be watching for potential vulnerability, whether it's travel and leisure, airlines, transport as a whole, cap goods, aerospace and defence, or European semis. And very interesting to hear that you have evidence historically that when positioning gets this high, it often precedes underperformance in those segments. So certainly something to watch. So Thank you very much, Daniel. Clearly, lots going on in Europe right now. A lot of it very nuanced in terms of the fundamental backdrop and the positioning backdrop, but really helpful to hear some higher conviction views from you at the sector level. We've obviously got the central bank meetings this week, Bank of Japan on Tuesday, Fed on Wednesday, and Bank of England on Thursday. We've also got European and US PMIs on Thursday. So, Daniel, thanks for providing such context as we go into those events.
Thanks very much.
Thank you also to our listeners for tuning in to this bi-weekly podcast series from our group. If you have feedback or if you'd like to get in touch, then please do go to our website at jpmorgan.com/market-data-intelligence, where you can always reach out via the Contact Us form. And with that, we'll close. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Market Matters. If you've enjoyed this conversation, we hope you'll review, rate, and subscribe to JP Morgan's Making Sense to stay on top of the latest industry news and trends. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and YouTube. They only reflect the views of JP Morgan Chase & Co. and its affiliates, together JP Morgan. They are not the product of a recommendation, advice, or an offer or a solicitation. It is intended for institutional and professional investors only and is not intended for retail investor use. It is provided for information purposes only. Referenced products and services in this podcast may not be suitable for you and may not be available in all jurisdictions. JP Morgan may make markets and trade as principal in securities and other asset classes and financial products that may have been discussed. For additional disclaimers and regulatory disclosures, please visit www.jpmorgan.com/disclosures/sales and trading disclaimer. For the avoidance of doubt, opinions expressed by any external speakers are the personal views of those speakers and do not represent the views of JP Morgan.